Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Last week I began a three-part series called Loving God with Everything, in Every Place, at Every Time. Loving God with Everything, in every place, at every time. We started talking about Jesus giving the great commandment to love God. I said it was the first and greatest commandment. He wasn't referring to the Ten Commandments. It shows up in a different place in Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said this is the greatest commandment, that you love God with everything that you have, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And I'm just so convinced we can't get this wrong. We can't get this wrong. Jesus said it was the most important thing. And we can do all kinds of things for him. We can do all kinds of things even with him. But we just can't afford to get this wrong. I was thinking of an illustration. Let's say here on the August long weekend, on Friday, you say to your teenager, I'm going to work. I need you to have your room clean. I need you to clean your room. It's very important. I'm just asking you to do one thing. Then the rest of the weekend can involve video games or shows or maybe even skip the dishes or whatever, basketball. I mean, you can be cut loose to do whatever. I need you to clean your room. Go to work, you come back that evening. And as you pull into the driveway, you discover the lawn has been cut. Nice. In fact, it's even been trimmed on the edges. And in fact, the sidewalk where the grass would have flown out has been swept. And you think, whose house am I at? You come in the door and you open the closet to take off your shoes and you see the closet's organized. You take off your shoes and wonder of wonders, it looks like somebody's vacuumed. Could this have been mopped as well? And what is that fragrance? Is that brownies? How did they pull that off? Okay, the story gets a little... and you come to your teenager and say, I can't thank you enough. You've made my whole weekend so much easier. All these things I had to do, I'm so grateful. And this is going to be fantastic. And then you head to your room and you just glance at their room and it looks like a bomb had still gone off. It's like, what happened here? Now we have a problem. Now we have a problem because they did so much for you other than what you told them was important. This is the one thing that matters to me is this. We can't miss out on what Jesus said is important. Spiritual activity does not equal spiritual maturity. We can do a lot of things for God, spiritual activity, but it doesn't mean spiritual maturity. It just means we're busy. Years ago, I was in a class, about 30 of us, with a man named Bishop Kenneth Ulmer. And I've told this story lots of times. Maybe you've heard me tell it before, but it was so impactful to me as he was telling this story. He was telling it in context of his ministry. But the story was this. He said when he was in university, there was a class that he said he cut every which way but loose. He was enrolled in the class. It was a prerequisite. Had to do it. But the primary weight of the class was on a final paper. That's where the weight of the grade was in the final paper. And so he showed up and he got the assignment and he crammed and worked hard. He completed the paper. He thought he'd done a good job. He submitted it. Sometime later, he gets the paper back, and the teacher's written on the paper, and it said, great paper, excellent research, well written. And then he said, I don't know why they use red ink for this. In red ink, there was a big F, circled twice, fail. And then these words were written, this was not the assignment. Great paper, excellent research, well written, F, this was not the assignment. And he told that in context of, he said, this keeps me up at night. When the LA Lakers moved out of the Forum and moved to the Staples Center, his church bought the Forum in Los Angeles to fit their congregation of 20,000 people. So on a weekend, 20,000 people would come to his church. He said, what keeps me up at night is this. I know how to grow a ministry and how to gather people, but am I making disciples? He said, my assignment was not to gather people. My assignment is to make disciples. And we can be involved in a whole lot of things and be active in a whole lot of things, but we can't miss our assignment. And our assignment is both the great commandment and the great commission, to love God and love people and to make disciples. But Jesus said the first thing we've got to get right is loving God. Jesus would quote Deuteronomy, what Moses said, and here's where he quoted the verse. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This portion of scripture with two other portions is referred to as the Jewish, the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. And I'm going to read to you an explanation from a rabbi. It reads this way. He said, the Shema is the very first prayer taught to a Jewish child when they start speaking. And it is the very last prayer a Jew is taught to say on their deathbed. It also became especially noted for its dramatic usage during the Holocaust. Former chief rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau has repeatedly told the story of how many Jewish children were hidden in Christian orphanages during the Holocaust. When they searched for the Jewish children after the war, it was often difficult to separate the Jewish youth from among the Christian orphans. But Rabbi Lau said this, it was enough for them to start proclaiming Shema Israel. And the Jewish children would instinctively reply, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. They learn it. As the first prayer when they begin to speak and on their deathbed. This is what Jesus quoted. You shall love the Lord your God with everything that's within you. This is the most important. We can't miss this. The great commandment and the great commission. Very practically, we talked about last week about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We talked about loving God with your heart is in worship, loving God with your soul, bringing our emotions and our will before the Lord in prayer. We talked about loving God with all your mind by renewing our minds in the Word. And we talked about loving God with all our strength, with all our ability, as much as depends on you, your ability, what you're able to do, loving God. And today I want to talk about loving God not only with everything, but in every place. How do we love God in every place? Every place we go, how does this reflect us loving God, fulfilling this great commandment? If it's about worship and prayer and His Word and our ability, how do we make every place a place of worship? How do we make every place a place of prayer? How do we make every place we go a place of honoring His Word? How do we make our home or our work, or our school? How about a restaurant, or Starbucks, or Tim's, or Cross Iron, or Sunridge Mall? How do we make those places, wherever we go, a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place where His Word is so valued and directs our lives, and we serve Him to the best of our ability? You may say, Barry, hold on, some of those places aren't places of worship. You don't know my workplace. You don't know my school. You don't know my boss. You don't know my teacher. You don't know my world. It might be a little easier for you to be able to spend time at the kitchen table as you start your day and say, this is a place of the Word. This is a place of worship. This is a place of prayer. than when you get to school and your teacher is lecturing, or when you get to your place of work and you're pulling on a wrench, or you're hanging drywall, or you're working on a car, or you're dealing with a customer, or you're creating a financial report. But loving God with everything in every place, how does that practically work out? How do you love God at McDonald's? You're standing in line. I wouldn't recommend just starting to sing, "How great is our God." You know, the people behind you are going to say, "God may be great, but you're next in line. If you don't hurry up, nobody's having a happy meal." You know, just get out of line. What about your boss coming to you and saying, is your project done? Have you done your assignment? And you're saying, "Well, actually, I was in the book of John, so I didn't get it done." He'd probably give you more grace to be in the John with a book than to be in the book of John. If loving God with all of our hearts, with everything that we have, can be done in every place, how does that work in going to see Spider-Man: A Brand New Day on Tuesday? How does it work out in our world, in our actual life? And I don't think somehow it is trying to transform those places into places of worship, places of prayer, places of where the word is so valued. I think instead there needs to be a transformation in us, that it's not every place the Lord has you in, it's the place the Lord has in you can be a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place of the word. Watch this, Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas in prison. It says, "Then the multitudes rose up together against them, and magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding them, the jailer, to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself. Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" It wasn't about the place God had them in. It was about the place God had in them. That wherever they were, after being beaten, after having their clothes torn off, after being fastened with stocks, didn't matter where they were, what place they were in, because of the place God had in them, there was room. Earlier, if we would have backed up in the book of Acts, we would have seen a time when the apostles were rebuked, they were apprehended, told not to speak in the name of Jesus, they were beaten, and watch what happens, or what happened, as the Holy Spirit so transformed these people who not too long earlier had been hiding for fear of the Jews, but now empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are emboldened. Verse 40 of chapter 5, it says this: "Then they agreed with him." It's Gamaliel saying, if this is just these guys, let them go. It's of God. You can't fight against God. I just recommend letting them go and see what happens. And so they agree with him, the leaders. And when they called for the apostles and beaten them, we just bump over that, and beaten them. Man. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Do you see that? After they had been arrested, imprisoned, beaten, they rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. We don't see that too often when the news is reporting Christians who are feeling slighted or discriminated against or prejudiced against or wrongly treated. But loved ones, we reflect the glory of God and the presence of God wherever we are, and no matter who treats us like what, even the ones who spitefully use us. And I believe that God has strategically placed us. When I talk about being in every place, I believe that God has strategically placed us throughout our city to see Calgary one for Christ. We're in neighborhoods, we're in communities, we're in schools, we're in hospitals, we're in police stations, we're in daycares, we're in malls, we're in farmers markets, we're in construction sites, we're in airports, we're in offices, we're in restaurants, and sometimes we're even in churches. But loving Him with everything that we have, with our strength, is being a person of worship, being a person of prayer, being a person of the Word, who knows His Word. And it's like it flows out of us. So wherever we go, it's not about the place we're in. It's about the place God has in us. Wherever we go. God, I love You. And wherever I go, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to pray. Your Word is going to have place in my life. So I can do my job to the best of my ability. And I can still reflect God's glory. I can be focused on my job without distraction. My attention given fully to my assignment, all the while being motivated out of love for God, all the while having a relationship with Him through prayer, all the while having His Word direct me on how I respond. I think that Christians, I would hope that we're the best employees and we are given to our task. I remember a lady, her name was Sonia Decker. She tells a story. She just led people to Christ everywhere she went. And she would continue to get new hairdressers. Because every hairdresser she got would come to Christ. So as they're doing her hair, she's leading them to Christ and then goes gets another one. But she was a manager. I think she was at a financial institution, but she was a manager. And someone came to her. She knew that she was a Christian and had all these questions. Came to her office and said, will you tell me? Essentially, she said, will you tell me about Jesus? So he said, I would love to. But not right now, because we're being paid to work. And so on our lunch break, come back and we're going to spend lunch together and talk about Jesus. But I loved the integrity of, I'm here to work. And it was honoring the Lord and being a good employee all at the same time. And she led the person to Christ. We can be really focused and still have place in our lives for God. My son, a number of years ago, at 13,000 feet, jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. Now, he had a parachute and he had a skydiving instructor strapped to him. But before Doug did that, I had said to Audrey, we were like, well, should we go watch him jump out of this plane or not? Well, you don't want to see your kid jump out of a plane. And I remember saying to her, there's no way that this ends that we don't want to be there. So however this ends, we want to be there. And I mean, we weren't particularly fearful of it, but it's a thing. What I like so much is the guy who was going to jump out of the plane with him before Doug got on the plane, he came over and he checked all of his harnesses. He said, I didn't put these on you, so I want to check them. And I thought, I'm so glad. This guy had his full attention on what he was doing. And he wasn't bowing his head in prayer. Listen, I was praying enough for all of us. But he gave his attention to his assignment, what he was doing for his work. I thought, that's a good employee. In every place, we're going to love God because of the place He has in us. So then we can be faithful. We can be faithful to our jobs. And it's not that you have to go to a place of worship. It's not that you have to go to a house of prayer. It's not that you have to go to a place of the Word. It's that has to have a place in you. It's not that you have to go there. It's you never leave. You never leave. Wherever we go, we are people of worship, people of prayer, people of the Word. It's how you can love God in a crummy job or in a boring lecture or in a restaurant with crummy service. or in a hospital room, or in a school in lockdown, or in a prison, like Paul and Silas, or in a concentration camp. It's not about the place you are in. It's about the place that has been filled with the presence of God in you. Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians, and then we'll wrap it up. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? The Holy Spirit within you. Is there place in your life, wherever you go, for worship, for prayer, for the word, and to serve him with the best of your ability? And that's how we love God, with everything in every place. It's not about the place you are in. It's the place in you. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and his presence. So wherever we go, can be a place of worship, place of the word, place of prayer, to the best of our ability. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. We want to love you with everything. We want to love you with our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength, through worship and prayer and knowing your word and being dependent on your Spirit. We want our lives to be so full to overflowing of your presence. So Lord, we pray, even as Mark led us, you'd cleanse our lives. God, that there would just be a purity and a cleanness about our lives. Clean the vessels, oh God. Anything that doesn't honor you, anywhere we've gotten off track, anywhere we've been not faithful, God, anywhere we've been just so focused on the place we're in, and like Israelites have stumbled in complaining, God, why am I here? God, this is so hard. God, get me out. God, wherever our praise has turned to murmuring, God, would you cleanse us? Instead, just fill us with your Spirit. Fill our lives with your Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill us. We want to love you with everything that we have and in every place that we go. And so, God, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. God, prepare us just to be holy temples that your presence fills. And just like in the Old Testament, where the glory of God filled the temple, we pray you would fill our lives. God, we make room for you. God, we open our hearts and lives. We make room for you. Come fill us. That we would be a people of worship. Wherever we go, that the high praises of God would be on our lips. Wherever we go, there'd be a song in our heart of worship and praise and adoration and thanksgiving. God, you said that your house would be a house of prayer. And so, Lord, help us to be a people of prayer, that there would be room in our lives for just communication and communion with you. Wherever we go, we would be houses of prayer. And God, as we would pray, we would submit our will to yours, our passions, our desires, our dreams, our priorities. God, there would just be a yieldedness, so our lives would be houses of prayer. God, we pray that you would help us make room for your word in our lives. That wherever we go, we could have a word in season for other people. God, certainly the word would transform us. It would so shape us. It would take root in us and grow, and there'd be a fruitfulness. But God, may that not just be for us, that we'd say, boy, we know a lot of scripture. But God, we could take your word and we could share it with others. A word fitly spoken, a word in season, like apples of gold and settings of silver. God, it would be the right word at the right time. There would be something of the prophetic on our lives, where we could just speak into situations by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, because your word has place in us. That we could encourage and we could strengthen with a word, with your word that brings light, and your word that brings life, and your word that brings freedom. God, help us to be people where our lives, there's room for worship, a song in our heart, where there's room for prayer and there's room for your word. That wherever we go, we would love you with everything and in every place. And God, we say to the best of our ability, you said with our strength. And so God, what we can do, not comparing what others can do, how gifted they are or how eloquent they are or how their voice sounds. God, we just, to the best of our ability, who you have called and created us to be, not clones or copies of other people, not even of Paul the Apostle, as we look at the example of Silas. God, who you've created us to be, to the best of our ability, empowered by your Spirit, everywhere we go, may there be worship, may there be prayer, may there be your word, because of your place in us. Loving you with everything and in every place, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.